Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. It is very nice to have you with us. Let's see. Let's introduce our panel, then we'll get you as to what is going on this morning, and we'll get to our topics at hand. You all ready?
I'm ready to roll. Rock and roll.
Do you mind just taking those headphones off that? Okay, great.
Because otherwise there's feedback.
The sound is circling through.
Right, gotcha.
Excellent. Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning. I'm sitting on Spilkes, otherwise known as Pins and Needles, because we are so, so close to our total, Joe.
Do you want to give that out?
I will, if you permit me to. Let me just say, we have now raised $499,787. So what does that give us? About $130.
Yeah.
To go, and 7 cents, of course. Somebody
yes.
did that to us again. So we're really close, and we're really close. But folks, here's what: for all of you who walk up to us and say, you know, I don't like your fund drive, and I always say to you, well, then have you given in to the lockbox? And you, some of you, but not all of you, say, yeah, but no. Listen, this is it. Let's just say over the weekend we could raise another $100,000, which is not impossible, because we raise $100,000 on most days of the live fund drive. We do. So if we could get another $100,000 right now, between now and then, we'll be going in with $400,000 to go in the whole fund drive. Now, wouldn't that be amazing, Joe?
It'd be more than that, right?
Be more than that. Amazing or what? More.
Well, meaning that if we made another 100,000,
yes, then we would have. We'd be going in with 600,025.
And 625. So it'd be 375 to go. Or
Right,
to go.
Right. And a couple of people have called in challenges, so we might even be lower than that. So if you really love the radio station, and you really, and we know you do, just call up, go to WMC.org and put something in the lockbox. That would be great. And who else is here today besides me?
No one matters.
I sort of forgot about that part. University of Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo is here. Good morning, Rosemary.
Good morning. That's all I have to say.
No, do it.
For now.
Author and activist Barbara Smith is here. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning. I just wanted you to know I have my checkbook out to write.
Well,
this
fantastic.
Is not
going
to get you very far.
Too.
It will not get you very far. But the thing is, I've been intending to do it. I had it out before I came
get
into
us across
the studio.
The street. That's great.
Great. We're all good. It has been funny this week because guests and visitors and so forth have come in, and as they walk in, they just like hand me a check. I'm like, hand it to Ray up front.
That harks back to some bad radio history.
Right. Well,
it doesn't.
It's not necessary at all, but it's very sweet.
Am I back? Because I always like to hear what the deals are. I always give money, but I like to get.
Yeah.
Well, it appeals to everybody.
And don't forget what you do get here, Joe.
Cool.
Is the
stuff. Yeah.
This is unbelievable. You could put yourself right in that WAMC recycled bag.
And even if we make the challenge, which I assume we will in moments, but if that happens, then this still deal goes on until the beginning of the fund drive.
That's right. And every penny goes in the lockbox comes right off the top. And this beautiful thing, you could put yourself in it. Now, there's going to be no problem for me to put myself in it, but for Joe to put himself in it might be a little bit more difficult, but you could still do it, Joe. You could carry yourself around in that bag.
A hat.
How would you carry yourself
you
around?
Yeah. Somebody would have to carry you.
Yeah.
No.
What?
I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter.
And make believe it came from you.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, so you can just sort of carry yourself around.
I'm going to write words, oh so sweet, it'll knock you off your feet.
You're good, Barbara.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Wow.
I love it.
All right, Barbara's superpower. One of many, I would add. Could okay.
One other thing, Joe, if
of
I may,
course.
Just now that we're on this. Robert, who's a regular correspondent here, said, $130. I pledge $130.
Well, make it official.
From Bob and Albany. Now, while we don't usually give names, we never do. But be sure, Bob and everybody else, don't say it here. You could say it here. That's great. But go to WMC.org so that we can officially record you and write you down in the book of life.
That's right. In the Book of Life, we will keep track. Okay, so let's go with what happened last night. There was a debate, and a few miles down the road, there was a Trump show.
Trump show.
In Iowa. I do not know about you. I really have not read too much of the critique of these particular events. I found them both to be very anticlimactic. You?
I was up all night again because I love watching this.
Yeah, love
I took
stuff.
A nap during the day and then watched the debates and the analysis. And the main debate was a little less exciting as we expected. It was far more substantial. There was no name calling, no insulting. There were jokes and there were actual answers from people with that we didn't usually hear from.
Yeah, Rubio
like
and Cruz
Bush.
Got pretty nasty.
No, it wasn't a Trump thing.
Well, that's true.
There was a comment from a CNN commentator that I found interesting. During the debate, they used little snippets of the candidates talking in the past, and they used those snippets to show how they had changed positions because they're up there saying, I've always said this, and they would show a snippet of a tape showing that they had spoken far differently in the past. And some people speculated that they probably had that ready long in advance, and what must they have had on Trump? So was it right that Fox was really gunning to go after him? I found that interesting.
I did not know about the video element until the beginning of the debate.
It. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I assume obviously the campaigns knew about that, but it would it and not to be a conspiracy theorist here, but it would explain the timing. He knew Megyn
right.
Kelly was going to be on the
for months. He knew that
since August.
Right.
So the fact that and he obviously had problems with her since that debate. So the fact that he would have gotten out the 2 days, yeah. You know,
he
you
suddenly
do wonder,
drummed this up. It seems like an excuse.
Yes.
Yes, I agree.
One of the things that fascinates me is that it's all about his ability as a showman. And I was watching MSNBC this morning. They were talking about how cleverly he had done this and how he won the night, even though he wasn't there, blah, blah, blah. And I continue to ask, is that what you really want for a president?
Good question.
Because it's just frightening to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a question. I hope that there will be follow-up on whether $6 million actually goes to the veterans. What group is that or groups is that?
Well, Wounded Warrior is a legitimate veterans group.
But did they get money from Mr. Trump?
They were raising money for them. And I think, that's not the part of it that bothers me. The part that bothers me is that the president of the United States... There's a Department of Veterans Affairs. Just to me, the messaging of, like, we need to raise money. I'm the presidential candidate, and we're going to raise money for our veterans. What has he said about policy in relationship to veterans?
There you go.
Well, absolutely. And also many veterans groups were very upset about the event, saying that it was they were using vets as a prop.
Yeah.
That was the
Well, that's good. I'm glad that was brought out as well.
Well, as to the main debate, I think Jeb Bush had the best night he's ever had. I agree with Alan. I don't think it's going to be enough to save him, but he spoke far more and with far more liveliness than he has, especially speaking to Rubio about immigration. And he stood up to it. It's like, well, you know, I used to think we were on the same side, Marco, but you've changed so much. I still think pathway to freedom is the right way. I found that impressive. But my favorite night, my favorite line of the whole night was when Marco Rubio was asked by Chris Wallace, you know, haven't you underperformed? You were supposed to be the savior of the Republican Party, and you're not doing that great. A lot of horse race questions, which isn't great. But anyway, that was the question. And Marco said, well, there's only one savior, and it's not me. Clearing up the matter for people who are confusing Jesus and Marco.
Well, I'm glad we settled that.
Yeah, I was. Thank God that's out of the way.
There was a little gray area there, wasn't there?
Well, Jill wrote to elucidate what you were talking about. I thought the debate was much more civil and informative without Trump in it. I felt it was closer to being more like the Democratic debate.
She's right. Yeah, I can see that.
More substantive. The other thing that I thought I was watching the watching the debate and then following the New York Times commentary.
Yes, I did that too.
The live tweeting throughout it. And at one point, one of the commentators, who I'm not sure which of the three it was, said, "This is what Jeb Bush would be like without Donald Trump in his head.
Yeah. Trump is always standing there, so rolling his eyes and just gesticulating, and he didn't have that. The other person who had just a bizarre moment to me was Chris Christie. He was asked about Bridgegate, and he goes, look it, you know, there's been investigators. No one's found anything against me. I'm in the clear. And then he says he's going to indict Hillary. Yes, I'm a Hillary Clinton supporter, but how many congressional investigations have looked at Benghazi and not a charge, not a word against her? Yet she is not clear. He, however, is clear.
Well, what? Yes. Well, yes, except that if you think about it for a minute, he's already telling you what he will, if he becomes the president, he will order his attorney general to do.
To indict her.
Which is to indict her. And by the way, a very clever letter from Robert who says, as to last night's debate, scoring strictly on composure, demeanor, and just plain sticking to the facts, no question, Rand Paul won it. Not that I'll vote for him. So far, it's okay, but not that clever. But he did very well. And then he uses something I haven't heard. I'm sure everybody else has. The cruise missile, thank goodness, was a dud. Get it?
C-R-U-Z.
Yes.
Now, it was Rick Santorum and Mike Huckabee who showed up at the Trump
event.
And I thought, what were they doing? Because, first of all, they looked so uncomfortable, so horribly uncomfortable. They wouldn't... Santorum said that he wasn't going to stand under the banner because he was obviously endorsing another candidate. I don't even know why they were there.
Well, they believed that you can disagree politically and be competitors, but everybody's for our vets. Both of them have very strong platforms of supporting veterans.
And we are getting a lot of vet reminders that the Wounded Warriors is now under some investigation.
Oh, really?
On the New York Times, a major story. And now we're reminded that CBS News is doing
That's why whenever huge amounts of money are raised, and I said this after 9/11, after Katrina, organizations are not really set up to hand out that much money quickly, and there are always problems. The Red Cross has run into problems, and Donald Trump, I put him at the top of my list to watch where that money goes.
Now, a number of organizations, right? Was it one organization?
Supposedly. No, it wasn't just one group. He just would vaguely say, you know, in shorthand, to veterans.
And then he mentioned a bunch of other billionaires
Correct.
That were in the audience or that were
going to help.
Were giving support without being overly specific, I guess, right? Okay, so...
One last thing, Joe, if I may.
Yes.
And that is that Rosemary has a little bit of news to announce. I think that there's this Washington Post editorial.
That's another story we have, the Post editorial on Sanders.
Yeah.
On Sanders, we'll get to that.
Yes.
Because Rosemary has a horse in the race.
I have to make a disclosure.
Yes, I'm aware of that. But so we will we'll do that.
Stay tuned for that, folks.
Let's take a break. We'll be back after this. Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. We are back. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Barbara Smith, and our pre-fun drive edition of the roundtable. So we won't be here Monday, and hopefully we'll have a short drive. But we want to say that we'll have fun while we're here, and then next week we'll do something else.
We'll have fun next week, and maybe, just maybe, Joe, everybody will get to their lockbox computers right now and put in the money, and we'll wake up and say, surprise, we're done.
We're all done. We're done. That would be great. That would be great. Let us go to some other topics that are happening in the world, and we'll talk about those, and then we'll get back to some letters as well. So let's talk about what's happening in Oregon, because we've been mentioning this. The armed occupation of an Oregon wildlife refuge had dwindled by Thursday after officials arrested nearly a dozen people involved over the previous 2 days. And the group's leader, who was among the people arrested, again called on the few remaining occupants to go home without using force. On Thursday evening, the FBI released graphic video footage of the fatal shooting. This is something that Rosemary was calling for, of asking for more information on this, and that was released yesterday, of one of the occupiers seeking to tamp down speculation regarding what happened to Lavoie Finicum, a spokesman for the group who was killed 2 days earlier.
Well, what did it show?
It was pretty clear. It showed the white van that the guy who gets killed in eventually comes up to a roadblock, veers off into a snowbank. He comes out. You do see him. It's taken from a helicopter, so it's far up. I mean, I did not look at it under, you know, enhanced conditions, as I assume the police have. But you do see him reach into his body, reaching in towards his jacket. So it does seem to support. It's actually a pocket where the FBI says he has a gun. I don't know how you prove that. They were armed. Mm-hmm. It's perfectly in keeping with things he said in the past. I think that the video overall supports the law enforcement version of events rather than the occupiers.
I'm sure why
the bad guys. Yeah, which is why it was finally released. Yeah.
Do you think we liberals, if I count myself as one, are more likely to give a buy to the police agencies in a case like this than some in which people of color have been targeted?
Well, I think it depends on what constituencies you're talking about. I think that people who are organizing, excuse me for being hoarse, people who are organizing around these extrajudicial killings, which are so prevalent in U.S. Society and that are being exposed because of video, they would not give the benefit of the doubt in a situation where black people were killed. On the other hand, there are many people, including white liberals, who would give the police the benefit of the doubt in the same situation. So the thing is, I think it depends on who's doing the looking. But I was listening to the show yesterday, and I had wanted to say something about the remark of a listener who had said that he thought that if it's white people doing something really illegal, like occupying this federal land, they're seen as patriots, whereas if it's black people, they're seen as thugs. And I just wanted to say something about that. I had written a little email in, but
I saw it, but we didn't get time because
it didn't come in time. My technology was not cooperating, so I'm going to read it now. I wrote, the listener who wrote that black people in this country are often negatively stereotyped and labeled for the same actions for which white people receive either no criticism or positive descriptions is correct. This pattern is easily documented throughout U.S. history. During Hurricane Katrina, when people were going into stores that were no longer functioning to try to get supplies so they could survive, if it was white people, that's how it was described. If it was black people, they were looting. And then sometimes, of course, these negative stereotypes turn into actions, like, for example, after both World War I and World War II, when veterans from the wars came back, and instead of being seen as heroic, they were targets for racial violence because they were seen as getting out of place and upsetting the racial status quo. So, yeah, I agreed with that listener, and I just wanted to state that.
And so you have.
What do you think the end game will be here?
I think that we're going to have a good ending to this. It's wound down quite a bit, and I think it's going to end up with those guys off and facing prosecution for something and a peaceful ending. I would expect to see uprisings like this in other places.
Right. And there are only a few left. Actually a few people left remaining. Right.
Out in and don't forget they're from Nevada. Mm-hmm. How this ended up in Oregon is of interest. I don't think I know the whole story there. It's remote and it was an opportunity, but that means there has to be places in Nevada and other places in the far west where we could see this happening.
Mm-hmm. Well, we heard from Cody, who quite frequently lets us hear from him. Now that we have seen the video of the shooting in Oregon of Lavoie Finisham come, does the panel think that the shooting was justified? It doesn't seem like the victim showed a gun. You already addressed that, Rosemary. Only reaching into his coat. Why couldn't he have been tasered or incapacitated in a non-lethal manner?
There was no way to taser him. He had driven his car into a snowbank, and he was actually quite far away from where the officers were. But on the other hand, he's in the middle of a snowbank in the middle of nowhere. He could not have gotten very far. So I understand that. But as far as a criminal charge, police are justified if they feel that they're being threatened. And if the guy's reaching, a man known to be armed is reaching into an inside pocket, I'm thinking that probably is.
Did he do that as they approached his vehicle?
He pulled off, and they're coming like from both sides, right, from behind him. And
we don't know.
I did not have the same reaction to the video that I did to that kid in Chicago who was shot dead in the street as he's walking away. You know, which was like, oh my God, how could that happen? Not the same reaction at all.
Hence why I asked my question earlier today, just to try to keep everything honest around here. Right. Whether there's a difference. Are you satisfied that there was no audio that we could have listened to there?
It was shot from a helicopter.
Because I heard of one report where this guy who got killed was said something. I have no idea whether it was spurious or not.
Yeah, his friends are saying it. That would have to come from an investigation from people on the ground, which supposedly is ongoing. Local police are looking into how the shooting occurred. But no, audio tape from a helicopter would have been worthless. You couldn't. You'd hear a helicopter.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Joe, I sure hope we're going to be able to, because we forward advanced it, as we say in the biz. We're going to get to the Washington Post editorial at some point. You know, I love that story. Very important.
we can do it now.
Oh, great, great. As Jack Benny would say, oh, great, great.
But your then we only have
your
a
life.
Few
let
minutes.
Let me think.
But so there was the Bernie Sanders story. Unloading on the Washington Post. Donald Trump. Move over, Donald Trump. Stand aside, Fox News. There's a new feud underway between a presidential candidate and a news media organization, this one between a Democratic presidential candidate, Senator Bernie Sanders, and the editorial page of the Washington Post. The first volley was the editorial posted late Wednesday online and in Thursday's print edition, headlined "A Campaign Full of Fiction." The print edition subheadline contended Senator Sanders is not a brave truth teller. He's just telling progressives what they want to hear. This is one of the lead stories, by the way, on CBS News last night, I would note. Sanders fired back again and again, saying that it was not true. That's not a new argument. We've been hearing that months and months, and that's, in a sense, what this campaign is about, Sanders said in response to a request for his reaction to the editorial. People are telling us, whether it's the Washington Post editorial board or anybody else, our ideas are too ambitious, can happen, too bold. Really? Well, here's something which is really bold. In the last 30 years, there's been a massive transfer of wealth from the middle class and working families of the country. The middle class has become poorer, and trillions of dollars have been transferred to the top one-tenth of 1%.
Okay, well, I have to disclose that Joanne Armeo, who's the assistant editorial page of the Washington Post, is my sister.
That's what I was going to say. Sister. You have a horse in the race.
But we don't really get along that well, so it's not like I had any input into this. I do, however, applaud.
You get creds. You get creds for her being.
We didn't chat about it. I didn't. It wasn't like my Hillary leanings that led to this. But I do applaud the editorial board when they come out. That's not the voice of one person, of one writer. That means they all sat down and thought about it. And what they thought, I believe, is that he's getting a bye. This whole Bernie Sanders thing that, oh, no one's paying attention to us and they're just ignoring us because Hillary's annoying is crap. He has been on all the leading publications. He has gotten huge play. He has gotten a lot of attention. The Post is saying maybe we're not really doing it the way we should. He's not gotten the same attention that, say, a Trump has. When he says, I'm going to put universal health care in and I'm going to raise taxes, but I'm also going to cut the deficit. You don't do that. That no one ever has ever done that in history. So how's Bernie going to do it? He's not answered that question.
Well,
and he has specifically called for things that he knows progressives and very liberal Democrats will like. And one more point.
Sure.
I think the board is incredibly happy at the reaction Bernie has given it,
which
is irate. He's brought it up a number of times. He has made it a major story. I mean, a newspaper likes nothing better than that.
The Washington who? And there is a letter taking us, I think, to task, classifying a WAPO editorial trashing Bernie as news, question mark?
Well, that would have been, CBS Evening News.
Well, wait, I
want to read the rest of it because I have some problems with it. Its opinion, pushed forward by a once proud newspaper now owned by Rupert Murdoch, the same right-wing oligarch responsible for all the invective and distortion cloaked as news at Fox. Well, actually, it's Bezos.
Rupert Murdoch has nothing to do with the Washington Post.
Right, and so, you know, that's not so good that you do that.
Kind of ruins your whole letter, Yeah.
What I really didn't understand, and sometimes I don't quite grasp what part of the newspaper or the article is coming from.
Yes.
But the thing is, the tone of the article that we read about it, the part, well, that was a news story? Was that a news
story or opinion? No, but Barbara.
I'm not talking about the editorial.
What I sent yesterday was a news story.
It came from a competing newspaper, the New York Times, which is a direct competitor, right, of the Washington Post. And it reported on Bernie's.
No, that's not accurate. No, what I sent you last night was the Washington Post. Story.
Right.
Oh, so okay, they wrote on their own story.
Okay, yeah.
The tone of it, I just couldn't really quite grasp because it was so satirical and actually opinionated.
But I would like to check in here because Rosemary and I duke this out on the, and so does Rex, on the media project all the time. Their opinion is that opinions stay on the editorial page and that the reporters do not get infected by what is on the editorial page. And I always say, yeah, but who signs the checks, number one? And if you take a look at, people like Murdoch owning the New York POST, a name which I will not say, it's quite clear that reporters are hired by the New York Times. They know a Timesman when they see one, and people read the editorial pages. And I think just things like positioning of the article, where they are, what they say. I think it's just naive to think that.
There's no question that as an editorial by the editorial board in the Washington Post, one of the leading papers in the country, is a big deal. Whether you read the Post or not, it just is. Secondly, it's standard operating procedure in print journalism that if you have if you've written about something or you've promoted something, you've investigated something, and there is reaction to it, a law is changed, someone is fired, a leading presidential candidate talks about it endlessly in an entire day, you write about it. So it's justified as a news column. What isn't justified is what Barbara is seeing as snark, as an attitude in it. And interestingly, I did not pick up on that. I read it more as pride in the newspaper that they did something that got a reaction. But okay. I think you have a point.
Well, she does have a point. I don't know whether or not that gets the Washington Post. Well, no, you basically said that off the hook. They basically were, feathering their own nest in their news column after the editorial, right?
Well, at least acknowledging the fact that it had gotten the attention of the candidate.
Well, it's chest thumping. Yeah, look at us. We're very important. Don't you see?
Yeah, WMC never does that.
No. I'm glad you mentioned that because it's true.
We'll take a break and we'll be back after this.
Support for WMC comes from Field Goods, working with Hudson Valley farmers to deliver weekly subscriptions of local produce year-round to workplaces and community locations, supports small farms and healthy eating. Field-goods.com. And Springfield Museums, featuring Wolf to Woof, The Story of Dogs, opening January 30th with family shows and activities, and Better Angels, The Firefighters of 9/11, springfieldmuseums.org.
Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion, and we welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. Let us get to some other topics this morning, and we go Well, the thing that, of course, has been dominating the front pages of many newspapers across the country, besides the election, is the Zika virus. Senate Democrats seeking federal...
Scary.
Excuse me. I am actually reading the wrong headline. There we go. The Zika virus, the world...
Health Organization
came out yesterday talking about this. There is great concern about the Zika virus, and we touched on this, was it earlier this week or the end of last week? And since that time, we are seeing this as a what they are referring to as a global health crisis. What do you see? What do you make of this designation, Rosemary?
Yeah, I think it's in a class with Ebola and dengue fever pandemics that have become so much a problem in this global world. And the fact that the Olympics are coming to Brazil, which is in the throes of a viral outbreak, that's a way for it to have a pathway to the whole rest of the world is right through that one event.
And you know, I'm sorry, Barbara, but I just want to point out that. There is a mess here because you know there will be a lot of women who will hold off on having children, you know, because of this, and it's a very scary thing, and I think we're in a bad situation. But the other difference between Ebola and this, Rosemary, is that there was a vaccine already with Ebola ready to go. And there is not in the case of this. I heard on the BBC this morning, they had a guy on from a small pharmaceutical said, we're testing something on mice, basically, you know, right now.
The first Ebola outbreaks, not this latest one that we talked about a lot here, it was the same situation where they start from scratch and they have to come up with a vaccine. And in the meantime, thousands die, you know, or thousands of little babies are born with no brains.
We'll need a fact checker on that.
Awful, awful.
We're going to need a fact checker on that one. Because as I remember it, there was stuff. It had to be reproduced. It had to be manufactured.
But definitely in the last one, that's true. The first Americans who got who came down with it were immediately given vaccines, if you remember.
Yeah.
And there was some talk about how come we could manufacture it for them, but not for, you know, thousands of Africans who
Good
had
point.
It.
Oh, when you said that we needed to fact check, I thought you were referring to the fact that they're not even sure that there's a causal relationship between the virus and this birth defect, because the article that I read said that the state of the art as far as doing that kind of analysis, medical analysis in Brazil, is not great. So people have to go back, you know, on that one too, to see, like, you know, is there a relationship between these? It seems an increase in this particular birth defect and this virus.
And we talked about this the other day, too, not just the birth defects, but in some individuals, a very crippling, not permanent,
right,
but a horrible.
Barr.
Yeah.
Yes.
I didn't say it because my pronunciation was questioned. So
yeah, mine
I'm
is,
totally
too.
Nervous
yes.
about it.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, mine is, too.
But that also may be related, and they don't know, but there certainly are fears about it. This is a really scary virus at the end, just like Ebola is. Yeah.
Except that not known to be fatal, right?
Yeah, for most, that's true. Well, it is for babies born with that birth defect.
Right. They say that for adults, it's like a mild flu
or something
like that. For many
adults, it's a mild flu.
You don't even know you actually had it, but very upsetting.
Let's go to some letters as we round out the last 5 minutes of the program.
Wow.
Okay. We heard from Jody, who said, Alan, please stop nose breathing into the mic. Very distracting and annoying. Thanks. Love, Jody.
My greatest fear. That's my greatest fear. Now.
Stop your nose breathing.
Oh, boy, that makes us all want to breathe
into
the microphone. I'm sorry.
Stop your nose breathing.
I'm curious as to, there's four of us in the room, of how you could detect that it was Alan's nose breathing.
Correct. Now, that's
okay, let's everybody try it.
Yeah, you win. You win.
I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
I set it out.
Okay. All right. William says, did M. Kelly cut off her glorious white privileged hair to reduce bimbo shaming by Trump?
Okay. Now, that's a sexist comment, even
that's
though
terrible.
She's an anchor.
That's terrible.
And I think comments about appearance are justified for some people, like actresses and models, but That's really bad.
That's not good.
Yeah. Knock it off.
It's not good.
Panel agrees.
You're allowed to have a haircut, right?
Yeah.
Women are, men and women are allowed to cut their hair?
I had cut mine just this week.
Look, it's gone.
What do you think? Joe B. Ritmo did a fine job.
And what is it? Nice. Long hair says bimbo in a way short hair doesn't? I'm sorry. It's just a ridiculous letter on many levels.
No, no, no.
We long love hair, your letters, though.
Long hair is bimbo. Short hair is bimbet. Richard says... The militia story isn't over. Who are the participants? Do they have jobs? Where is the financial support coming from? There isn't any news reporting, just reality TV news. And then Chad checks in on the nose breathing.
Oh, no.
And he says, trust me, it's Alan.
He studied this?
Eve says, also needs to be said that this site is not just a wildlife refuge, but also a historic native religious site, which the occupiers picked through and built roads on. This is particularly ironic for those who recall the 1973 occupation of Wounded Knee by the American Indian Movement and how different the Fed's response was, and that's from Eve. That's a good point.
That is an excellent point. Also makes me wonder why the tribe... in that area does not own that site. Why is it federal property now?
Our regular correspondent Julius checks in and says, Rosemary sounds too gleeful about the Washington Post editorial.
I need a copy of that for my mother, who says I'm frequently not happy for Joanne's successes. So that'll be proof.
Well, look, we all...
That's sweet. That's not. You have proof now.
And Jody, who wrote the original nose breathing comment, checks in. I've been trying to figure it out forever, and I'm sure it's Alan.
Oh my gosh!
See, now that's three letters about this, and four on the Republican debate.
So let's try to change that balance, okay?
Yeah. Okay. Dr. Lauren says, I think you're somewhat mistaken about the Ebola vaccine, in quotes. When Americans were first affected, one or two were given a highly experimental treatment, not a vaccine, which had never been used before and was considered highly dangerous. This was also given to an African doctor who was sick with Ebola and who subsequently died. There was no vaccine, quote, ready to go. And Ebola continues to be highly dangerous, though treatable. Thanks for the great show, as always.
That was good.
Yeah, I always like it when they... beat the hell out of you and then say, thanks for the great show or whatever.
That was good.
That makes you feel good, doesn't it?
Yes, indeed it does.
The right kind of thing. Joe's got a big smile on his face. Well,
I am because you were off mic, and that way we not only didn't hear your breathing, but we didn't
hear
what you
said. I'm going to breathe into this mic anymore? No, forget it.
The idea of this is not to have experts, usually, but just people who have read a lot or a little. So it is true that we mispronounce words and sometimes don't have things right, and we do depend and like
readers who... Is that being human?
Who,
is that what that is?
I think you're
it's
right.
It's not permitted. Cut out the breathing. Okay, let's see now.
We read that one.
We read that one. Yes, that's right. Okay. Well, Joe, unless you see something else.
Then I think it's time to end our little cavalcade of fun this morning. Reminder, the fun drive begins at 6 a.m. on Monday morning.
Maybe
so
not.
We won't be here.
But maybe not. Maybe it won't if everybody just goes to the lockbox right now and says, okay, let's put it in. Maybe not. Maybe we will be here.
Oh, that'd be fun.
You'll get an emergency call over the weekend.
You guys are ready to go, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
You'll
we
be good.
Always read the news.
All right. WAMC.org to help the lockbox, WAMC.org. And we will we'll be back on Monday. We'll continue with our program. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.